Yes, welcome back. 5 minutes gone past the hour of 11 o'clock. Star is Born by Cheryl Freeman. That's the original soundtrack from the movie Hercules. Like I said, we're throwing it back, and today we're doing it cartoon style. Now, my final conversation is about football, but not just football, but about life. You see, until recently, I never truly understood what it meant by this very popular phrase. You probably heard of it before. It's a very popular quote, an inspirational quote. We rise by lifting others. I always felt okay by doing that. It's maybe when you give money and make sure that person gets the job, you know, that kind of thing. That's how you rise, as well as rising or helping people to rise, because they'll help you. That's what I thought. I never truly understood it until very recently. You see, the idea behind making others rise whilst you rise, it's not just you giving them money, not just you giving them job, but very importantly, is you giving them hope. It's you being willing to be in that position to help. There are some of you listening to us right now. You are in the position, you have the billions, but you aren't particularly doing what you can because you equate your help with money. But it's not just about money. Once again, it's about the willingness to help and then hope. And ladies and gentlemen, there are very few individuals on this planet that give hope more than our footballers, our basketballers, generally sportsmen, actors, and even political figures. People scream in ecstasy when they get to hear a particular man or woman who they feel is particularly good. A very popular video that some of you have seen in your lifetime is that of Michael Jackson coming on stage to thousands of people screaming his name. For about a minute and 30 seconds, Michael Jackson says nothing. He does nothing. He doesn't even move. And yet, people screamed and fainted. One man. When Michael Jordan was at the peak of his powers, people screamed. When Lionel Messi scored goals, people screamed. When Michael Jordan and all the other MJs you probably remember did what they know best, people screamed. I wonder how people scream when these idols of ours don't live up to expectations. So, public figures, public rage, candidate abuse on social media. This was in 2020 of October. The report represents findings of a research project measuring the scale of online abuse targeting a variety of congressional candidates in the 2020 U.S. election. It found out that women and candidates from ethnic minority background were more likely than men and those who didn't have a minority background to receive abusive content on mainstream social media platforms, Facebook and Twitter. And yesterday I asked you, who do you think is the most abused football player in England or from the Premier League? A lot of you said mention names, but it was astounding, the report that came through. Of the top 10, seven of these individuals came from Manchester United. Cristiano Ronaldo, Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes were among the most abused players on Twitter during the first 5 months of the 2021-2022 season. Now, to help me talk about why our heroes, people who literally are stars amongst us, tend to get abused, Ona Kosi joins me this morning from the Sports Crew. Ona, good morning to you.
Morning. First, I have to say, wow, energy everywhere in the studio. You have so much of it positively surrounding you, Jude. And I had to point that out. I mean, it's incredible, really. And it makes me even all the more happier to be here with you at this time of the day. So many thanks for having me.
Welcome to Hello Port Harcourt.
Hello Port Harcourt. Follows as well as I'm saying hello to everyone listening.
Yes, please. So you report the news concerning sports. You've seen matches that these individuals, fantastic individuals, Ronaldo, Cristiano Ronaldo, CR7, popularly referred to by his fans, are following. He has a huge following on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, you name it, he's there. Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, even Marcus Rashford, who was, you know, touted, was given a pat by the British Empire, the royalty, for trying to get people to feed, young people couldn't feed during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. Yet, he was one of the most insulted and abused after the Euros. Why do people insult public figures so easily?
Well, first thing to note is that the world has become a global village, you know, like never before. Mm. Social media has given more people, more than ever before in the history of mankind, access to, you know, those they idolize, the stars, be it sportsmen, mm, other kinds of celebrities or political leaders. So what you have in the world today, it's more and more conversation enabled by the social media space. As you rightly pointed out, Ronaldo is a massive, massive figure, for instance. He's played across the biggest clubs in world football, Man United, Real Madrid, Juve, back at Man United too. 472 million followers on Instagram.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Just to put it into perspective, Rihanna, as popular as she is, just has about 139 million followers on Instagram. That's how massive Ronaldo is in this space. So his greatness and everywhere he's passed through in his time as a football player, which hasn't ended, by the way, is, you know, garnered, you know, supporters and, you know, rival fans that come with it as well. So everyone is talking about him. And unfortunately, some of these conversations around him has moved from constructive criticism into abuse. So what is the why of it? I suppose that's the question you're asking. Because they operate in the public domain. Every single person has an opinion. And for these stars, Ronaldo, for instance, he operates in a sector where people are quite passionate because it's competitive and there are lots and lots of rivalries. Even your own fans have expectations of you.
Of you, yes.
Right? And if you don't live up to that, even when you do, but the collective isn't functioning, they transfer the aggression, right? Part of sports and supportership also means that you would have rival fans against you, right? So you put it into perspective, the fact that, especially now that Ronaldo isn't quite at the peak of his career, both at the personal and the collective level, you consider that many of the fans who usually adore him have turned against him. And then many of the rival fans also use the opportunity to banned him, unfortunately extends beyond bans to become, you know, quite abusive, which is quite irresponsible, really.
All right, so it's quite irresponsible, but there seems to be a peculiarity with recent occurrences. When I say recent, I'm talking about the past 3 or 4 years. I agree with you. Historically, they've always been rivals. Everton fans don't like Liverpool fans. In fact, it's so serious that if your boyfriend is from Everton and you are a Liverpooler, you guys probably will stop dating after 2 or 3 weeks, you know, particularly when the Merseyside derby, you know, comes into play. You can also say the same thing, you know, for Eyimba and Kanu Fillers. Passionate fans across the country, when these two meet, the fans don't really want to see eye to eye. It's a big thing. I get it. But in recent years, this particular 3 years, it seems very particular. Some of the things that have been said can downright make people, you know, decide not to engage. Marcus Rashford had to, you know, close his Twitter account for a while. We've seen even actors. Take, for example, Johnny Depp. Loved by millions for his character play in Pirates of the Caribbean and all those other eccentric roles. And about 2 years, people just didn't want to hear anything about Johnny Depp. They frowned at him for whatever reason, I can understand. But like you said, it's gone beyond constructive criticism to abuse. They attack race, they attack religion, they attack creed. What is giving people this kind of power? And don't forget, these are stars. They idolize them. And then one bad game, Cristiano Ronaldo is the crust of the earth. You know, people don't want to see him. On that day, he's the clouds. You know, not just the silver lining, he is the cloud itself. People talk about his great left and right foot. Why is society so fickle these days?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like what they say. You live by the crowd, you die by the crowd. It's the two sides of a coin. You know, but then you can't extract football from the reality of the times in which we live in. What I'm getting at is that there's a general drop in value system. I think that human beings are becoming less and less cultured.
Across board.
And look at the things we glorify. Look across social media. Many of those who are idolized in the social media space are the rude and the uncaught. You have to be
brash, abrasive.
You know, if you can't be positively famous, you have to toe the path of being notorious, right? And the world applauds all of these things. You're right. So it's about... Sometimes it seems as though it's a competition. Who would be the most rude out of a set of individuals operating on social media who can be savage? Savage sells. You understand?
That's Nigerian. Everybody wants to be savage.
That's the thing. So we glorify, you know, what normally maybe some generations ago would be clearly denoted as vices and poor attitude. So it also finds its way into the football culture, where everybody assumes, you know, they have a right to speak these kinds of things. And the more insensitive you are, the more woke you have become, and the more savage, and the more likes and retweets, and then you know people fan the flames. It's part of what drives you to social media stardom. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, generally, people are becoming more and more uncultured and irresponsible. So they can no longer tell the difference between constructive criticism, which you can argue that fans have a right to reasonably. They can no longer tell the difference between that and outright abuse and downright insensitivity. So it's part of, you know, this the new generation coming up, where it's even trendy to be uncultured.
It's trying to be cultured. Now, one of the stats from that survey carried out, right, shows that Ronaldo received the most abuse during the period, 12,520 tweets. But interestingly, also received the most tweets overall. Over 500,000, nearly 600,000 tweets were directed at Ronaldo, talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, meaning just about 2.2% of the messages he received were abusive. So you can argue that, okay, maybe because of his fame, that's why he received only a minimal amount of abuse or insults, right? That's looking at, if you look at that stats from that vantage point. But if you look at the number itself, let me read the number once again. 12,500 tweets as insults. And I'm wondering, if as a human being I receive 12,000 insults during a 9-month period, I wonder how I react. That's if you divide that by 365 days, that's almost 20 insults every day.
How would you feel? I suppose you'd have to look at what the usual human reaction to abuse is and try to paint a picture of what these stars, you know, get to feel. Sometimes we think that because someone is rich and famous, we can throw anything at them, and they are kind of immune to these kinds of things. After all, he's in his mansion and all of these things. Mm. Sometimes also, some of these things are born out of downright jealousy, even if it's not well defined. Yes, of
jealousy
course.
From the fans.
From the fans, yeah. Because, you know, some of these stars live, whether we admit it or not, some of them live the lives that we desire or envy, kind of. Okay. And sometimes when you want something you can't really have, a little bit of envy starts to grow. Mm. So when someone appears too perfect and has a perfect life, look at what the natural human reaction tends to be. They try to look at things to cling on to pull them down just a little bit, to dampen their shine just a little bit. I'm not saying this is a case for everyone, but there are elements of this, okay? So Ronaldo, he's tall, handsome, good-looking, superstar, 4 Ballon d'Ors, lives in a mansion in Manchester, owns another house, and he's always posing on, showing us his good life on Instagram. Yes. So, you know, sometimes you pick up some mud and then you sling it at him. You know, it just, it becomes some sort of a game. But in a way, and it'd be interesting to hear what the psychologists have to say about this, because you know, when something appears too perfect, what human beings try to do is to find a blemish, you know, something that shows
poke at it,
or just like the rest of us or something. So there are elements of jealousy in there as well. But how do these stars feel? Obviously, you know they don't receive it well. You talked about Marcus Rashford, for instance. After everything he did, got an MBE from the British Empire. You know, just a mistrap, a poor touch.
On the penalty.
And all of these things are forgotten. And you know, the social media space is made a living hell for the star. It's not right. Because and look, I always say this to ones I'm able to have certain conversations with. Always, these guys are football players. You expect perfection from them at all times. But have a look at your own self. In the work that you do, are you as good a driver as Marcus Rashford is a footballer?
That's a great comparison.
Yeah. Are you good as a carpenter, as a furniture maker, as Ronaldo is when it comes to football? So how do you expect them to be right all the time, to get the skill right, to score the goals 100% of the time they attempt it, when in your own sphere of influence, in the job that you do? I mean, if you are to rate footballers across the world, there are thousands and hundreds of them. Ronaldo, Rashford would be some of the elites that you would mention. But if I am to rate I'm to rate accountants or lawyers or medical doctors across, would you rank amongst the very, very first class of those in the profession that you do? So when you understand that even in the work that you do, you're not as perfect as you expect these guys to be at the job that they do, maybe you tone down your expectations and understand that they are human beings who can't always get it right. And while you have the right as a fan to offer criticism, there's a boundary between criticism and downright abuse, which is quite insensitive and irresponsible.
All right, quite irresponsible. He said that you talked about the passion, and we have just about a minute. We're going to break shortly. If you just join us, hello, Port Harcourt. I have my guest on Akosiji this morning from the sports team. We're talking about, you know, public figures and how insults seems easily thrown at them in our modern days. Recently, stats showed that some of the most prolific, well-known footballers were also on the receiving end of barrages of insults. The Manchester United team received the most insults from last season. 7 out of 10 of their players were on the top 10 list. Fascinating of insults. The question we ask is, why do public figures receive a lot of abuse? Now, it's not something that started today. Let me cast your mind back, sadly, to the annals of history. How many of you have heard of the name Andres Escobar? Have you heard of that name before? Some of you probably don't know that person. He died 2nd of July in 1994. He hailed from Colombia. You want to know why he died? He was assassinated. Andres Escobar was assassinated after he made a bad mistake at the World Cup in 1994. And I remember back then, my father watched that scene and said, that boy should be protected. And then, after that tournament, he was sadly murdered. Extreme views, you would say. Onakosi says, we expect perfection. But are you perfect in your own field? We'll go on a break. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines.
we take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Podhackers.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Yeah, so 26 minutes to the top of the hour. Good morning to you. My name is Judah Mambi. One more time. It's time for us to get to the final segment. This time around, I'm going to open the phone lines. I'm going to engage you. The question we asked this morning, why do people like to throw insults at their stars? Heralded, worshipped, idolized sometimes, but sometimes they get on the wrong end. The public figures, they receive a lot of abuse. Why exactly? Sometimes it does seem as no matter how good you are, no matter how well your intentions may be meaning, sometimes it doesn't just sit well with the public. Is it a societal shift? Well, my guest Ona Kosi believes that now it's now become a clash of savagery. How savage do you get? People want to be able to see your wit and your nuance when it comes to conversations. They see you as being cerebral if you can insult and then be coy about it, sometimes even overt about it. But then, as we get into the final conversations, there's a role the media has to play. And we'll talk about that role right now. Once again, my name is Jude.
And now, hello, Port Harcourt, with Jude on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Well, once again, good morning, Kosi. Thank you for joining us.
Morning, Jude. Thank you for having me.
All right. So now, the role that the social media and, the media in general plays, we'll have just about 5 minutes. Let's just sink our teeth into this one. Now, Facebook has been called out. Twitter has been called out. Not so much Instagram because of its visual nature. It's easy to, either flag and pull down, a certain content that might be seen as hurtful or divisive. But Facebook and Twitter in particular have come under a lot of scrutiny for not doing so much against abuse and insults. Case in point, 2020 and 2021, the racial slurs, racism. We've had some companies come and say, oh, kick out racism, even the EPL. But people are saying more needs to be done. As someone who works, lives and breathes media, do you think that some of these insults have also been glorified by media firms and houses?
Yeah, I think because things are always looked at through the prism of interests, right? Mm. Maybe there isn't a lot of time for me to explain, but basically, Jude, when we want to regulate our way out of these things, it becomes quite problematic because who then determines what stands as an insult? It can be quite subjective. So if you begin the process of censorship, where do you end? As the bracket of what I may feel is insensitive to me widens, what then is left in the open space for quote and unquote free speech, right? So trying to approach this through censorship when it is not universally accepted what passes as abuse or what does not pass as abuse can be a little bit problematic.
So I think I agree with you when you talk about the determination of what passes as abuse, because over here, right, on our shows, right, we have, a mantra across board, almost every sports station or every sports program, gives room for a bit of banter. We call it the yabis. Mm-hmm. Okay, you tease, poke some jabs at, United fans or Arsenal fans. Arsenal fans are on the receiving end of a lot of jokes, a lot of bants and banter over the years. And the same thing can be found on the international media. When there are call-ins and receptions for messages and things like that, people say, oh, they were doing so great. Now, Man United is terrible. Okay, that guy can't kick to save his life. There are bands like that. Mm-hmm. But as the gatekeeper of some sorts of these, in quote, expression, shouldn't the media be responsible for at least curtailing the excesses?
Oh, yeah, the media can educate. It can keep sensitizing. Because as you already suggested, the media has a huge role to play in this. Part of what our responsibility is to keep trying to point the gaze of society in the right direction. Mm. So, and I believe this conversation we're having is also part of it. The media can keep, in a world where it's becoming a rarity, more and more, the need to be cultured, the need to be respectful, that two persons can disagree in a non-violent manner, in a way that does not lead to abuse, disagree respectfully. And then I can say, well, I respect your views, but I don't agree, and this is why, as opposed to, oh, get out from here, what are you talking? Mm. You understand? You know, so the media can keep educating through the narrative that it chooses to bring to the forefront of the conversation that it has and exposes the public to. Mm. That's what we can do. We can continue to educate. And if we get the orientation right in society, we may not need to start treading the murky waters of regulation. Because when you ascend to that level, if you get the foundations right, if we start to raise our children right, if our children start to look at us and see how we handle disputes and disagreements, they could learn. And then it may not be so necessary to start looking at regulation as the way out of it. Because regulation comes with its own. What if the gatekeepers that can regulate, when tomorrow they are populated by the savage individuals?
Yes.
I mean,
where did they draw the line?
Where did they draw the line? So the idea that regulation is the way, as opposed to reorientation, is wrong. Reorientation is the way,
and not necessarily
regulation. You don't need. Regulation is reactionary.
Okay.
While it can have the purpose of deterrence.
Immediate deterrence.
But it's reactionary. So how about we make our bed and try to lie on it nicely, as opposed to looking at sanctioning those who don't make their bed as the way out of it. When those who don't believe in making the bed take up the positions as the regulators, what then happens?
You sleep on the floor.
Exactly.
All right, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and then 0817-923-0009. These are the studio numbers. Please permit me to repeat them. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and then the female caller number 0817-923-0009. WhatsApp, Telegram available on 0809-030-6416. And jump onto social media at Nigeria Info PH, at Nigeria Info PH. We're talking about public figures this morning and why they seem to be on the receiving end of a lot of hurtful insults. What exactly is wrong with our society, or how have we been developing? We want to find out from you this morning. Please, as always, do well. Keep your conversations sweet. Refrain from derogatory or defamatory comments. If you think I see it or hear it, please do not make any unsubstantiated claim.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Nathaniel from Bonny Island. Nathaniel, good morning to you. Welcome. Hello, Port Harcourt.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I myself with what the guy in the studio is talking about. I'm a football fan.
I
didn't see some of the things that some of the big footballers. Most of their fans. And sometimes we need to imagine to what extent are we willing to take from these fans. Because these are also human beings. They have feelings. even if sometimes the next mistake is begin to sometimes to adjust even strategy at our little home. And what aspect of work we engage at and we also make mistakes. But we have to understand one thing, that the higher the cooler it becomes, the higher and the more exposed you are.
The more exposed,
Sometimes when you grow higher, and people push you, they keep on growing. There are certain techniques to which they're exposed to you. And this year, some of these plants feel that these people, these celebrities at this higher level or at the highest top level, they are also perfect. So they expect the same thing from them. And sometimes when they fail, they become disappointed.
Sometimes
frustrated. And then out of frustration, they begin to spend the other hand to close that way. And sometimes this version of the thing also makes it even worse because the police that are also getting. And once you get, you see how something happens.
Huh.
I want that concept to be like that. Hopefully, the banks that some of these funds possibly do not, you begin to invent them. I mean, the anger and
frustration towards them.
That's
a very interesting question there. I'm going to pull that to Kosi shortly, but for now, let's get to La Masia. La Masia, good morning to you. Speaking to us on mile 4.
Okay, good morning, Jude.
Good morning. Welcome, please.
Yeah, good morning, Kosi.
Morning, La Masia.
Your black suit is amazing.
Thank you.
Nope, it's actually
amazing. Let's talk about why Cristiano Ronaldo is mostly abused on Twitter, according to the recent discovery.
Mm.
Let me first and foremost attribute his abuse, though not right, to his often show of ego on and off the field of play.
Really?
Dude, it will be good to know that Cristiano Ronaldo left a match window recently before the end of the match just because he was substituted. This is not up to 7 days. And the coach is angry and have publicly declared his action unacceptable.
Hmm.
Tell me, how would the fans react?
Hmm.
And for Harry Maguire, his incident mistake in the pitch led to his abuse.
Yeah, but Lamassia, let me ask you this question.
React according to their emotions.
Wait, Lamassia,
like,
hello.
Last season, Lionel Messi was abused, you know, in a PSG match just because he couldn't replicate his Barcelona form at PSG.
Okay.
So fans are almost reacting because of their current emotions.
Yeah, but that's the question. Should they be reacting, Lamassia? Hello.
Yes.
Should they be reacting in that way because of their emotions? That's the question.
You know, they are football fans, and football is what gives you joy immediately. If your team is winning, if there's anything you have to do, you support every player. But when your team is constantly losing, you tend to find fault on some player.
Okay.
I hear me. So most times you don't blame the fans because they are reacting based on what they are receiving from their club side.
All right, thank you very much, La Masia. Kosi, do you share sentiments with that you know, it's the emotions that are taking the better part of judgment, and so that's why we should let it go?
Oh yeah, it's partly emotions. Mm. Some of them are well calculated, intended. What is it that they say again? Very much premeditated. It cannot, you know, be passed as just the spur of the moment kind of thing. But emotion has a huge role to play. But you know, they often say that emotion and rationality don't always coincide, right? Which means there could be a problem when put to the test of judgment of right and wrong, what your emotional outburst has been. That it's about emotion. Anger is from emotion. That I, you know, commit the crime of maybe breaking or assaulting someone because I'm angry,
it doesn't make it right.
So that it's because of my emotion. No, you have to look. Have a judgment of what it is that you have done through the emotions that you may have felt at the moment, and try to make an assessment of whether it was right, you know, or wrong. So emotion, it's not really an excuse. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, the penultimate caller made mention of something that I felt we should you know, take a dig on, and that is the role of money, particularly in sports. and this is across all boards, even in the movie industry. Some few months ago, Will Smith slapped Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the receiving end of a lot of insults. At the same time, like you said, the savage ones want to promote that kind of behavior. Then came the argument of, you know, Team Wu versus Team the rest of Team Chris Rock. You know, what's the best way to respond? There is money involved. These two players are huge. Talking about Will Smith, they command millions of dollars in salary for movies made. The same thing can be said, you know, of footballers. They demand millions. Talking about $200,000 a week salary, half a million in case of Cristiano Ronaldo. And now all of this is backed by people who place bets. And so they just, it's no longer the passion, but the financial involvement that's probably making these things on the increase. I don't know if you share similar sentiment with the penultimate caller.
Yeah, I understand where he is coming from, but I'm still struggling to find it to be a justification for abuse. Look, these guys, they have a talent and they pursued it professionally. And you know, the coach selects a team and sets them out to play. The objective is to win, of course. Ronaldo didn't ask you to place a bet that he would score or not score. They would win. It's your own free will. You decided to take the gamble, right? And then you're taking it out on a man who is oblivious of your betting and all of those things. And then again, I ask, apologies to those who are into the business of making dresses. If I were to place a bet with all I've got that tailor that says I will take my clothes in 2 weeks, it will be ready in 2 weeks, I promise you, if I should gamble on it, would I win? I mean, would I win if I should visit your mechanic workshop to fix my bow joint and all of those things? And you say that, just go, you won't be back here till in 6 months or 1 year. And I place a gamble on that. Would I win? I mean, I'm just saying, in the work that we all do, we come out 100% out of it all the time, because these guys are just, they are doing their work. They haven't asked you to bet on them. No, they haven't in any way asked you to do that. You voluntarily did that. And you should take it out on yourself if your gamble hasn't, you know, worked out. Not abuse. He didn't ask you. Did he give you guarantees that this will be the outcome? He didn't.
He didn't.
And he is not happy that he hasn't even scored. No coach is happy to have lost. So you made a bet, you gambled, and you came out on the wrong side. The person who is to blame primarily is you.
Well, Costa says it's you. Whether or not Arsenal scored 10 goals and you know your favorite player didn't score, is not the player's fault. It's all you. You took the risk. It's a gamble. Was he informed? I don't know. Was it because of the passion you have for the footballer and maybe the club? Well, I can't say. But it was all on you. Good morning, Jude and Costa Sochukwu. I think the fans are very selfish and unappreciative. I couldn't believe that some Bayern Munich fans insulted and abused Lewandowski just because he wanted a new challenge after everything he did for the club. I was so disappointed with the fans. The fans are selfish and they only care about themselves. That is the problem. That message is coming from Anslam. But it's not just footballers. Let's juxtapose it now to the other public figures in our world today. So we've talked about, you know, celebrities, you know, actors and musicians. Even politicians get the wrong end of a stick. Case in point, Nelson Mandela. At the point of his inauguration as the president of South Africa, there were groups who were opposed to the idea of an all-inclusive government. There were some people who didn't want whites to be in government because they said, look, these people have been oppressing us for so long, don't give them any more room. They have, in their minds, a justification. Our sons, our daughters, wives were beaten, flogged, and killed. Why do you want to bring these people in? We love you, Mandela, but we will insult you. Is there, like you said, maybe there's some in information we're not passing on to the young ones or something. But right now, how do we start to go about that? Like you said, to let people know, you and I can disagree, but we don't necessarily have to throw insults or resort to violence.
Education, verbally, through our actions, because ultimately they say actions speak louder than words. If a child or if a son or a daughter is always observing the parents go about their disagreements, maybe between themselves or between other members of society, in a cordial and a civil and cultured manner, invariably they will pick it up as how these things should be handled. Now, in the political space, yes, the decisions politicians make have a direct consequence on the lives that we live. So we are directly, they're not abstracted from us in that sense, maybe like a footballer or something. But then again, I say that making the political space even more toxic isn't the way forward still. Because when you start trading abuses from one camp to the other, the substance and the issue is lost in abuse, violence,
and
rhetoric. We start measuring in minors, right? When the real issues stay unattended to. So why make the political space even more toxic? First thing you have to do is to become a knowing citizen, properly analyze, and use the powers that you have as a citizenry to effect the changes that you want.
There you go. Use the knowledge. Be educated. Well, Kosi, thank you very much for coming through. It's been a fascinating and totally engaging conversation. I couldn't have asked for a better individual to support on this particular conversation.
Oh, pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we say our goodbyes now. Tomorrow starts in earnest for those of you who are football fans. Would there be tears?